أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير، الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا وهو العزيز الغفور، الذي خلق سبع سماوات طباقا، ما ترى في خلق الرحمن من تفاوت، فارجع البصر هل ترى من فطور، ثم ارجع البصر كرتين ينقلب إليك البصر خاسئا وهو حسير، ولقد زينا السماء الدنيا بمصابيح وجعلناها رجوما للشياطين وأعتدنا لهم عذاب السعير، وللذين كفروا بربهم عذاب جهنم وبئس المصير، إذا ألقوا فيها سمعوا لها شهيقا وهي تفور، تكاد تميز من الغيظ. صدق الله العظيم. In our last session we talked about the benefits of reciting the surah and the virtues of the surah. And we also talked about the first ayah, تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكُ وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Glory to Allah who has the kingdom and He is capable of doing everything. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةِ. The one who created the life and death. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Why did He create the life and death? So that He may test which of you performs the best deeds. وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفُورُ. He is all-powerful, the forgiving one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah have told us the purpose of our creation. The life and death is all a test for human beings. And what is it that we have to write in this test? What will decide whether we have passed or failed is أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Who will perform better deeds? So the whole life and every living being that exists in the world, the creation of this world, everything exists just to see if we, the human beings, can do anything good in our life. Each and every good deed that we perform in our life, it's in the direction of fulfilling the purpose of the creation. And any deed that we do against it is defeating the purpose of creation. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have created everything for a purpose and we are defeating that purpose, then we ourselves can realize and think and understand what type of punishment that person deserves who is defeating the purpose that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the whole universe, such a great universe. He created that whole universe for a purpose, and there are people who are always working against that purpose, trying to defeat the purpose. Sharia says about our small assets, about very trivial assets, if a person will steal something from other people, his hand has to be cut. This is because this person worked hard, he got something, and he worked very hard, he used his hand, he used his energy, and now you have really cut his hand by stealing his wealth. So they are going to cut your hand. It reminds me of a priest that used to live somewhere in United Arab Emirates. And he used to talk a lot against the Islamic laws, that these punishments are, wal'ayaz billah, too harsh, and Islam is very strict, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very strict, was too strict. He lived there for years, earned a lot of wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes he teaches people lesson even in this life. Before they get the punishment there, he gives them some lessons here. So before he leaves that country and he was thinking of going back to his home country, all of his wealth was stolen from his home. Someone broke into the house. He was supposed to leave next morning, and just the night before that, everything was stolen. So imagine a person living there for 20, 30 years, working so hard. He earned so much. Now everything is packed to take it home. So people found out that everything is packed and he's ready to leave. And they found an opportunity. They went and took everything from his home. So next morning he's looking around and he's trying to find the people, complaining, going to the police stations and everywhere. And someone asked him, say, if you find out the person, who is the person who did it, who took it, what are you going to do to him? He said, I'll kill him. So for your wealth, you are willing to kill him. And if someone steals other people's wealth, you say even cutting the hand is too harsh. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, put everything within limits. And it's in its proper place. And here we can understand that if our minor effort, small things that we get, for that a hand has to be cut, and people are willing to kill each other for this, and really they are doing it. They are killing each other for this. So if a person defeats the purpose of the creation of the whole universe, all the human beings, sun, moon, stars, growth, vegetables, animals, everything and anything that you see in the world, someone is trying to hurt everything. Because the purpose of the world is to serve human beings, and human beings are to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once the human being does not serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, turns away from serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's defeating the purpose of the whole, of the creation of the whole universe. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in this ayah, and making the point very clear, خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةِ. He created the life and death to test you, to see who performs the best deeds. This was the general understanding of the ayah. But if we go into a little depth of the ayah, we find some more very important pearls into the ayah, very important points in this ayah. One of them is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةِ. Normally we don't ponder too much into the words of Allah. We take them just like any other person's words. And he might have just used the word to express some feelings. It's not like that. Each and every word means to be there. And each and every letter is just in its perfect place, cannot be replaced with any other letter. He created the life and death. Normally people think death means not exist. Not to exist is a death. So is a being, a living being, is alive. And the opposite of that is called death, which means there is no being and there is no living. So if something is not there, nothing is there, so what's creating it? He says he created the death. خَلَقَ الْمَوْتِ. In fact, he mentions the mouth first. He mentions the death first, that he created death and life. So death is not something that it, as the human being, is not there, is not, does not exist anymore, then his death is nothing like that. Both of these things, as life is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even the death is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we, from this ayah, we got to realize that death is not a name of not being and not existence. Death is another existence. is something created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is another existence. And what is that? We all know as mu'mineen, as believers, that when the person dies, the reality of death is not the person is totally out and no feelings, nothing after this is gone. The soul never dies. Our soul never dies. So really death is departing from this life and going into the next life. This is death. And what is over there? That's another world by itself, which is called عالم البرزخ ومن ورائهم برزخ إلى يوم يبعثون. This is in Quran. That after this life, they have barzakh. And they will have barzakh till the day of judgment. And then will be another life. And that is the life of the hereafter. So, first thing, the human beings were just souls created by, of course, in the beginning were nothing. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He created Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, as Quran says, and ahadith explain also, that at that time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought all the living beings, all the human beings that are supposed to come into this universe till the day of judgment, He brought all of them into life. And this is in the hadith. Then He put His hand on the back of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and all the children of Adam alayhi salam, offsprings of Adam alayhi salam, people that will be coming into this life till the day of judgment, they all came out. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ مِنْ ظُهُورِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ. When your Lord brought all the children of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and all the human beings out, وَأَشْهَدَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ, and He made them witnesses against themselves. أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ, am I not your God? قَالُوا بَلَىٰ, they all said, yes, Ya Allah, you are our Lord. You are our God, you are our Lord. So that is called in Sharia, عَهْد أَلَسْت, which means the question that was asked by أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ. At that time, all the human beings came into existence, and then again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took us back. Now, what does that mean? What difference does that make into our lives that we all came to living, and we were all asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala this question, am I not your God? And we all agreed, yes, Ya Allah, bala, we agree that You are our Lord. So what difference does that make to us? And how would we know why Allah would mention this to us? And why did He do this, whereas I don't remember that promise? I don't see any of that promise in my life. I don't see nothing that will tell me, other than of course Quran and Hadith, that's only once the people will believe in it. So how would I know about that promise? How would I know that this promise was taken? And what effect the promise has on my life? Remember, this promise is to tell us that oneness of Allah is in our nature. Without teaching us anything, He asked us, أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ? And we said, yes, Ya Allah, You are our Lord. And this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, كُلُّ مَوْلُودٍ يُولَدُ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ. Every child is born clean and pure, has the oneness of Allah in his heart and his mind. فَأَبَوَاهُ يُهَوِّدَانِهِ أَوْ يُنَصِّرَانِهِ أَوْ يُمَجِّسَانِهِ. Parents are the one who will make him either a Jew or a Christian or a follower of any other religion. That is the responsibility of the parents. They are the ones who take their children away from the right track. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He created every human being was created clean and pure. And of course, what can be worse than shirk? And what can be more pure than tawheed? The oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when every human being is created, whenever a child is born, whether in a house of a Muslim or in a house of a non-Muslim, irrespective of what type of kafir that is, when a child is born, that child has the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his or her mind and her brain. They have the oneness of Allah. Then, later on, by giving them different type of teachings, gradually people start going away from Tawheed, from the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a very important point that we need to remember. We all are created with Tawheed, with the oneness of Allah in our hearts. Then those people who go away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they go away because of their atmosphere, because of the teachings around them, because of what they have been hearing from all around. So all of these things come from outside, and the oneness of Allah comes with the nature of a human being. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us He created the life and death. And this told us, as I was mentioning, that death is not that just being out of existence. Death is just another life by itself. So just like we have this life, before this life, we had another life in the wombs of the mother, 9 months over there. Before that, we were in a different life, and that was from the time we were created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until the child, until the person goes into the womb of the mother. And then from this life, we will go under the ground, and that period is called Alamul Barzakh till the day of judgment. And from Alamul Barzakh on the day of judgment, we will come back to life, and that will be a different type of life. So these are all different procedures and different steps of our life, and in each and every point we have a different type of life. We always have a life, but a different type of life. For example, in this world we see the plants. They have some type of life. This is why I say, sometimes we say, oh, this tree is dead. Normally the plants have some type of life. They have growth. They need to breathe. They need water. There is some type of life there. Another type of life is for animals, whom we feel that, yeah, they are walking, talking, they have eyes, they have ears, just like us, they walk around. So they have another type of life. And then we see the human beings, we have another type of life. Little different than the life of the animals. This is why sometimes a person living, wasting his life, we say, what type of life is this? You're living like animals. أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ This is what Quran says. So different types of life. In fact, within human beings, if we look around, we will find different type of lives. What is we people here, alhamdulillah, with a normal type of life, we walk, talk, do everything, whatever normal human being can perform. If you go to the hospital, you will find that there are some people who are living beings. But all they do is just open their eyes and they're able to look at you. You talk to them, they can't reply. All they do is just they keep on looking at you. Then you might even have some other people in the hospital who are on a life support. You look at the person, me and you would say this person is dead. The doctor tells us, no, still he has some life. And they are keeping the machine on him. That person is on life support now. And to us, is almost like a dead person. In fact, if the doctor wouldn't tell us that he is not dead, we would consider him dead, and we might try to bury the person. That's another type of life. So within this world, we are seeing different types of life. Same thing as the person will go under the ground. There will be different types of life. Of course, that life by itself is totally different than this life. But even over there, there are different stages of the life. One is the life of Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam, who are conscious of everything, just like we are living over here, they have a life type over there. And second thing, different type of life is the life of shuhada, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا. Don't consider those who have been murdered in the path of Allah as dead. بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ. Instead, they are living. عند ربهم يرزقون. They are getting their sustenance also there with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are getting rest over there. That life is below the life of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, and then it will be the life of normal people that will be even below the life of the shuhada. So death is transferring from this universe, is migrating from this world to another world. And that is, as we said, it's Alamul Barzakh. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةِ. He created the life and death. And now he told us, the purpose of the life and death is, لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. To test you to see who performs the best deed. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, imagine, he used the word, أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Did not say أَكْثَرُ عَمَلًا. Did not say who performs more deeds. He says who performs better deeds. Difference between أحسن and أكثر. Sometimes we try to have a lot, but they are not good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires good deeds. If a person has few raka'ahs and they are good, is better than having 1,000 raka'ahs and they are not good. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not looking as quantity, He's looking at quality. He wants quality deed from us. And more the deeds will get better, the more we are getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the purpose of creation is to perform the best deeds possible in this life. And this is a very important point that we have to realize and keep in mind. That sometimes we compare ourselves with other people and we say that this person does very few deeds. I'm better than him. I'm doing so much. A person gives $100,000 and he compares himself with another person who has given $10 and he feels that I'm much better than this person because I gave $100,000, he gave only $10. Allah does not want to see أكثر عملا. He wants to see أحسن عملا. The person who gave 10 might have a pure intention. Just for the sake of Allah, sacrifice something in his life to give even these $10. And other person who's giving 100,000, he may have sacrificed, but the intention was, I get better than others. I look better than others. I will have better status than others. That person is trying for أكثر عملا, more deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I don't want those ones. I need أحسن عملا. When we see ourselves doing something more than others, this should never make us feel that we are getting better than other people. Because who knows other person's one subhanAllah is better than the ibadah of our whole life. And this is exactly the situation with Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. As someone asked, I think Hassan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi, or one of the tabi'een, then what do you think, who is better? Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu or Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi alayhi? Who was better? Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu or Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi alayhi? So Hassan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi replied, he said Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu was a sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi alayhi was a tabi'i. And it said Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu's 1 second that was spent in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the dust that he was breathing while being in the battlefield with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and some dust that went into his mouth or in his nose, that dust is better than Umar bin Abdul Aziz and all his life. That dust is better than Umar bin Abdul Aziz and the whole life of Umar bin Abdul Aziz, because that dust came while being with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is to understand the importance of a good deed, a deed that's performed in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What can be a better deed than that? This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith that the people who will come after Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in, even if they will spend a mountain of gold, they will not get the reward even as much as Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in got by spending a handful of wheat. This is, I'm narrating all of this so we can understand the difference between Akthar and Ahsan. The better deeds, good deeds, and the difference between having a lot of deeds, but they are not that good. Once, some Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in, young Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in, they got together and they were discussing about trying to do the best they can for Islam and in the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of them said, I swear, I would fast for the rest of my life. I would never spend a day without fasting. Another one said, throughout my life, I would never sleep during the nights. I would be performing salah every night and I would never get married, so I can spend the whole life in the ibadah of Allah. And they are discussing all of this. And Aisha radiallahu anha heard them. They went to Aisha radiallahu anha to ask her about the ibadah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When she informed them about the ibadah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, their thought is not as much as we thought it might have been. So they thought we can do more. And this is why one of them says, I would never sleep, and they find that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sleeps sometimes. Another one says, I would never spend a day without fasting, and to see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spending many days without fasting. So they said to themselves, because he is the Prophet of Allah, he doesn't need too much. Because he's already too great. And he's too close to Allah. He doesn't need to work as hard to get that close to Allah. We need to work harder than him. This is why they decided to do that. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came to know about this, he called all of those Sahaba. He was very upset. Very angry with those people. Are you trying to do more than what I can do? Do you think you can afford to do something like this for the rest of your life? Do something that you can stand and continue with it for the rest of your life. And he asked them to do it less, but continue with it and do it as good as they can. Difference between good and more. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us to do ahsanu amala, to be have better deeds. And better deeds will be by having husn. See, the word husn is used. Husn means beauty. In the saf, in the masjid, we have sometimes 200 people, 300 people, in some masjid 500 people doing the salah. They all are doing the same salah. Some of them are getting the reward of the complete salah, some of them getting half of the salah, some of getting one of them are getting one third of the salah, some of them getting nothing out of the salah. You see people doing a lot of service for Islam. They're working very hard to serve deen. Some of them are getting rewarded for all of the services that they are offering for the sake of Allah. And there are some who are getting nothing out of it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, رُبَّ قَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ قِيَامِهِ إِلَّا السَّحْرِ. There are people who will be spending nights doing the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They get nothing out of that night except wasting their rest and sleep and sacrificing their sleep. That's all they are getting out of it. Not having the sleep, they are not getting any reward for it. وَرُبَّ صَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صِيَامِهِ إِلَّا الْجُوعُ وَالْعَطَشِ. And there are people who are fasting, and they get nothing out of their fast except being hungry and thirsty. That's all they get. No reward. Why? The husn is not there. The beauty of the deed is not there. And what is husn? Husn comes from ihsan. Husn comes from ihsan. What is ihsan? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked in the 10th year of Hijrah, which means just some months before he passed away. Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to ask him some very important questions about deen, so that the ummah to come till the day of judgment, they will have a good understanding and a gist of the deen in these ahadith. So he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam some very important questions about deen, about the whole deen. Rasulullah, and one of those questions was, he asked, مَا الْإِحْسَانُ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ Rasulullah, what is ihsan? Husn will come from ihsan. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants in our deeds. أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا Deed with a lot of ihsan, a lot of husn. So he asked, مَا الْإِحْسَانُ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ If we were to define it, we will have different things that have nice dress and then perform the salah, do it in this way or have a long sajda. Al-Ihsan, أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه. Ihsan is that you worship Allah, keeping in mind, as if you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because, فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكُ If you cannot see Allah, at least He's watching you. So the minimum point of Ihsan, the minimum Iman, Islam is, إِنَّهُ يَرَاكُ He's watching us. The point that we normally even forget it, even in our salah, forget about rest of life. Even in our salah, we forget that He's watching us. So this is husn. This is ihsan. That making, keeping in mind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us. This is the lower point of ihsan and the higher point of ihsan. Once the person will practice this point, the lower one, that Allah is watching me and all the time is keeping in mind that Allah is watching me, gradually he will develop the feeling that I can see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ You worship Allah as if you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is ihsan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants a lot of husn, a lot of beauty in our deeds. Which means the more we are devoted, our attentions are devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more devotion there is in our, and sincerity we have in our deeds, in every deed, whether it's a salah, or is a work where we are earning, or is dealing with people, the more we keep Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in mind all the time that He's watching me, I'm supposed to do it according to how He wants it, the more there will be husn and beauty in our deeds. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. He created the life and death, لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا To test, see, to see who performs the best deeds. So, we have to try to develop this feeling in our minds, and try to create this thing in our lives, that let's try for a better deed, whether it's too much or not, because once it will get better, then even very little will do a lot of it, will do a lot for us. And if there is too much and is not good, it won't do nothing for us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us this is the purpose of the life. وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفُورُ He is powerful, the forgiving one. الَّذِي خَلَقَ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ طِبَاقًا The one who created seven heavens, one above another. طِبَاقًا, one above other. مَا تَرَى فِي خَلْقِ الرَّحْمَانِ مِنْ تَفَاوُتٍ You don't see any fault in the creation of Rahman subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the most beneficent one. There is no fault in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. And now He tells us, فَرْجِعَ الْبَصَرِ هَلْ تَرَى مِنْ فُطُورِ Look again. Do you see any rifts? Any holes? Any faults? Any damages? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created something and is not perfect? normally in factories when they make things. When they make things, there is always a time when they have to go fast on the product, and they know that this product is not as good as the other one. Sometimes they like to make a cheaper product, so that product is not of a quality that normally the company can produce. Every company, occasionally they get into things that is not a quality product. It's just to fill the market and to just fulfill the demand of the customers, or whatever reason it might. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I created the whole universe. Not a single thing that you find was created just like that, quickly and without considering it, and without giving it a full creation, everything that it needs and deserves. مَا تَرَى فِي خَلْقِ الرَّحْمَانِ مِنْ تَفَاوَتٍ. No difference. No faults. فَرْجِعَ الْبَصَرَ. Look again. Then he says, ثُمَّ ارْجِعَ الْبَصَرَ كَرَّتَيْنِ. Then once again, look again. يَنْقَلِبْ إِلَيْكَ الْبَصَرُ خَاسِئًا. Look for another time. يَنْقَلِبْ إِلَيْكَ الْبَصَرُ خَاسِئًا. Your gaze will come back to you humiliated. خَسَأَ is to be humiliated. Your eyes, if they are looking for faults in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the eyes will come back humiliated, which means they won't find nothing. وَهُوَ حَسِيرٌ. And it will be exhausted. The eyes will be exhausted of trying to look all around and find faults in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, but no one can find faults in those. And this is what subhan means. When we say subhanallah, glory to Allah, no faults.
وَلَقَدْ زَيَّنَّا السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِمَصَابِيحَ وَجَعَلْنَاهَا رُجُومًا لِلشَّيَاطِينَ وَأَعْتَدْنَا لَهُمْ عَذَابَ السَّعِيرِ. And we have decorated the first heaven with lamps.
Sama ad-dunya, the first heaven, the nearest heaven, with these lamps, and the lamps are stars. Once, I don't know when and where, someone was asking me a question, that do you think that as these people are going up to the moon, that they have passed the first heaven? And at that time, this ayah came to my mind. And I said, no. They are far away from even getting to the limits of the first heaven. Forget about passing the first heaven. They are seven heaven. And still with all the technology that we have not passed the first heaven. We in fact did not even got to the higher point of this level, of this first heaven. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this first heaven is decorated with lamps which are stars. They have not got to stars yet. And stars are still within the first world. There is much beyond the stars. And after that they might go to the second, pass the first heaven and then try to get into the second one. But still we are within the first one. And we don't even know what's after that and what's out of that. For some reason, many people feel, and this is the feeling that they are even the scientists and some governments are trying to give us, that now they have seen everything that exists in the world. They have gone everywhere. They know everything about the whole universe. There is nothing hidden from us. And now whatever is there, exists in the universe and around, we know it. We can see it. We have been to it, or at least from far away, we know exactly what it is. We have a complete documented literature about it, details about it, that would tell us about everything of the universe that exists in the world. But, of course, as people 1,000 years back, or it might be even longer back, people used to think the same way. They used to think the same way that now we know everything. And gradually, some other people would come do more research, more technology, they would find out that, no, those people didn't know enough, and now we know better. And it's advancing, but of course it will go to a point, to a certain point, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءُ. That's the point. That's the limit. That we can never have an information, a bit of information, without the permission of Allah. He gives us the knowledge of whatever He likes and whatever, whenever He thinks is the right time for it. And the things that we don't know, we feel that do not exist. But this is not a reality. Not knowing does not mean does not exist. It's only the lack of our knowledge, and we don't know what's beyond our knowledge. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, زَيَّنَّ السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِمَصَابِحِ. We have decorated the first heaven with stars. And we use these stars for other things, for shooting the shaitans, the devils. وَجَعَلْنَاهَا رُجُومًا لِلشَّيَاطِينَ. We have made these stars for shooting the shayateen, devils. Before the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, shayateen were allowed to go up towards the heavens. And they used to go into the heaven and listen to angels talking. There was no restriction of not going up there. But since Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent and he was given Quran al-Kareem, from that time the doors of the heaven were closed for these shayateen. And from there on, whenever a shaitan tries to go up, we call it shooting a star normally, but shooting a star doesn't mean the whole star shoots at this shaitan. Some of the stars are larger than the whole universe. So a flame of a fire that comes from these stars, that shoots at these shayateen. If the whole star would shoot, it will just destroy the whole universe, not just one shaitan. Why do these shayateen would like to go and listen to these angels? Because angels normally discuss things that will be happening in the world, that will be taking place in this universe. Shayateen would like to find out about those things. So at least they can have some planning about what to do. And at the same time, they can come and put it in the minds of those people who are working for them. And up to this time, there are people who are working with jinns. And I don't mean working with jinns is always bad, but most of these times, people work with evil jinns. And they try to use them for evil things, for achieving their bad fitnas, mischiefs. So this is what most of the time, or many times, we see find people using these jinns for. So all of these jinns also, they try to go up and they listen to those angels talking to each other about what will be taking place in the world. And then they come back and they tell these people who are considered to be fortune tellers, in different ways they are informing people about things that will be taking place. So there are always, of course, there were more of those kind of people in the past, and especially at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the days of Jahiliyyah, there were a lot of those people. So they used to come and tell them some of these things that they have heard. So these people would tell their followers and tell the people, and this is how they would attract those people. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in the hadith that shaitan would hear one word, one thing. He would come and tell that jinn, that man, and that person will mix up 100 lies with this. He might tell him that after 2 days there will be an earthquake. So now, any person comes to this person, a sick person comes to him. He says, I would like to get treated for my headache. I always have a headache. Okay, I'll tell you something to recite. Recite it. And for you to know that the thing that I'm giving you to recite is right and I'm following the right track, the sign is if you recite it properly, after 2 days there will be an earthquake over there. Another person comes to him. He says that my father is sick. Okay, he gives him some treatment. And the sign that the treatment is working, that there will be earthquake over there. So he attaches everything with that earthquake. Since Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to the sewers, shayateen were forbidden from going up and staying over there, but still they try. Shaitan is a shaitan, of course, you know. So he has to do his work. So they try to go up there, and of course they know it. So they run and just try to grab few words and come back. And another shaitan at the same time is running there and getting another few words. So they're always running over there, back and forth, trying to get few words. And they're afraid, of course, of the shooting stars. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ زَيَّنَّا السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِمُصَابِيحٍ. We have decorated this world, or this first heaven, with lamps, which means with the stars, and we made these stars a mean for shooting at the shayateen. وَأَعْتَدْنَا لَهُمْ عَذَابَ السَّعِيرِ. And we have prepared the punishment of the burning fire, of blazing fire for these shayateen. وَلِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ عَذَابُ جَهَنَّمْ وَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرِ. And for those who reject or who do not believe in the Lord, those who do not believe in the Lord, is the punishment of the hellfire. وَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرِ. And that is the worst destination. إِذَا أُلْقُوا فِيهَا سَمِعُوا لَهَا شَهِيقًا وَهِيَ تَفُورُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us something about the hellfire. What type of fire is that? On the Day of Judgment, that fire will have some type of life. The fire will recognize that today is the day for me to eat up whatever I can, to burn the people. The fire is looking forward for it. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Qaf, after throwing all the kuffar, then all the sinners into the hellfire, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask the hellfire, Halim tala'ti? Are you full? And the hellfire will reply, Hal min mazid? Is there any more? I need more. So the hellfire is very angry, is looking for sinners. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created that place to punish the sinners. And that hellfire is angry because of the anger of Allah. Allah is angry with the sinners. So these people disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so the hellfire wants to burn them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, Jannah, the paradise and the hellfire were discussing it. The hellfire said, I am the place. I am the one who's going to have all the big people. All the big people in the world will come to me. Jannah said, yeah, and the poor people will come to me. Rasulullah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Jahannam, Anti adabi, you are my punishment. I punish whoever I would like through you. And he said to Jannah, you are my rahmah. I bless whoever I would like through you. So both of you are doing what I need. So you don't have to argue. So Jannah and Jahannam were arguing about it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, this Jahannam will be very upset on the Day of Judgment. إِذَا أُلْقُوا فِيهَا. Once they will be thrown into it, they will be hearing the thundering of it, the roaring of it, just like a lion, just like a beast. And since it's the day that this hellfire is looking for more and more, is trying to get its anger out. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the hellfire is burning so much, with so much anger, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that, hellfire complained to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, please throw some people into me. Rabbi akala ba'di ba'da. Ya Allah, some part of mine is eating up the other part now. This is how hot I am. This is how anxious I am to burn. So I'm burning myself now. I need some people to burn.
إِذَا أُلْقُوا فِيهَا سَمِعُوا لَهَا شَهِيقًا وَهِيَ تَفُورُ. As it is, it will be boiling. فَارَيْفُورُ.
To boil. As it will be boiling.
تَكَادُ تَمَيَّزُ مِنَ الْغَيْزِ. It will be about to burst with rage, with anger. كُلَّمَا أُلْقِيَ فِيهَا فَوْجٌ سَأَلَهُمْ خَزَنَتُهَا أَلَمْ يَأْتِكُمْ نَذِيرٌ. Whenever a group of people will be thrown into it, the wardens will ask them, most of the translators have translated this as keepers, but of course it's a type of punishment, so I think we have wardens in the prisons. So that might be a better word for this. إِذَا كُلَّمَا أُلْقِيَ فِيهَا فَوْجِ. Whenever a group of people are thrown into it, سَأَلَهُمْ خَزَنَتُهَا, the wardens will ask them, أَلَمْ يَأْتِكُمْ نَذِيرٌ. Didn't a warner come to you? So they will reply, Bala. Why not? Yes. قَدْ جَاءَنَا نَذِيرٌ. A warner came to us. فَكَذَّبْنَا وَقُلْنَا مَا نَزَّلَ اللَّهُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. We rejected them. And we said, Allah have not revealed anything. So they will say to them, إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا فِي ضَلَالٍ كَبِيرٍ. You are in a great error. You are going too far away from the right track. In another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that then these people, as they will be thrown into the hellfire, they will be saying to the wardens of the hellfire that please ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take us out of the hellfire or to cause us to die. We don't want to live. We are not asking for Jannah. Once they will... He will say, no, that's impossible. So they will say, يُخَفِّفْ عَنَّا يَوْمًا مِّنَ الْعَذَابِ. Ask Allah to lower the punishment for us just one day. For one day, just reduce the punishment for us in the hellfire, just for one day. They will tell them, أَوَلَمْ تَكُ تَأْتِيكُمْ رُسُلُكُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ. Then the prophets of Allah came to you with all of these clear things. They will say, Bala, yes, they did come to us. قَالُوا فَدْعُوا وَمَا دُعَاءُ الْكَافِرِينَ إِلَّا فِي ضَلَالٍ. Then keep on calling. The call of the prayer of the disbelievers of the kuffar will always be wasted, will not be answered. We can't do nothing for you people. In another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they will be asking them, please ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cause us to die. So they will reply, إِنَّكُمْ مَاكِثُونَ. No, you people have to live here forever. There is no way that you can come out. لَقَدْ جِئْنَاكُمْ بِالْحَقِّ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَكُمْ لِلْحَقِّ كَارِهُونَ. We came to you with the truth. Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, they came to you with haqq, with deen, with truth. But most of you don't like the truth. You run away from the truth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is narrating some part of this in this ayah. قَالُوا بَلَا قَدْ جَاءَنَا نَذِيرٌ. They will say, yes, surely. The warners came to us. فَكَذَّبْنَا. We rejected them. وَقُلْنَا مَا نَزَّلَ اللَّهُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. And we said, Allah have not revealed anything. إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا فِي ضَلَالٍ كَبِيرٍ. So they will tell them, you people are in great error. وَقَالُوا لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعْ أَوْ نَعْقِلْ. Then these people who are in the hellfire, they themselves will say, لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعْ. We wish if we had been listening. Or نعقل, if we had used our brain, مَا كُنَّا فِي أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. We would not have been amongst these people who are burning in this blazing fire. Two things. Some, listening. Most of the time we don't like to listen to the ayahs of Allah. Most of the time people don't like to listen to the advices.
from Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And sometimes people don't use their brain. لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُ أَوْ نَعْقِلُ. These will be the two things that they will realize. Our main mistakes. We did not want to listen to the truth. We were running away from even listening to the truth. And the second thing is, we did not use our brain in that life. Using the brain means, if they would have really used it, they would realize that it does not make any sense to have problem in that life, in Akhirah, and to get all of that punishment, by all of that punishment of the Akhirah, just for a little rest and some worldly gain of this world. So لو كنا نسمع أو نعقل ما كنا في أصحاب السعير. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاعْتَرَفُوا بِذَنْبِهِمْ. These people will confess their mistake, their sin. فَزَحْقَلْ لِأَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. Now, may the people of the hellfire be away, which means may they be away from the rahmah of Allah, they will never get the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So at that time, admitting the sin, admitting of committing the mistake, will not help any person. This is the life. If we think that we are doing anything wrong, this is the life to correct ourselves. Over there, to go over there, and now, at that time, if the people will say that, oh, it was our mistake, and we need a chance to go back, none of these things will work out there. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of us against the punishments of the Akhirah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us tawfiq to prepare for Akhirah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide all of us to Surat al-Mustaqeem. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.